All right, so this deep dive is going to be particularly interesting for all you marine invertebrate epigenetics researchers out there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so like imagine, you're prepping for your next lab meeting, and you really want to impress everyone and be like the LNA expert.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, like dropping all this knowledge about how these LNRNAs impact like everything from
Right.
like oyster fertility to how sea cucumbers handle stress.
Like a rock star.
Exactly. And luckily for you, we have been digging into this awesome 2022 review
Okay.
from the Reviews in Fish Biology and Fisheries Journal.
Nice.
Yeah, and it's like packed with all this cutting-edge research on LNRNAs and aquaculture.
Dense stuff.
It is dense, but don't worry, we've extracted like all the juiciest bits for you.
Awesome.
So maybe we should start with like the basics.
Yeah.
What exactly are these LNRNAs, and why should marine invertebrate researchers even care about them?
Great question. For a long time, they were seen as just junk DNA.
Really?
Yeah, like just noise in the genetic symphony.
Huh, interesting.
But turns out they're anything but junk.
Okay, so what are they then?
So LNAs, they're longer than 200 nucleotides,
Okay.
but unlike messenger RNA, they don't actually code for proteins.
Oh, so that's why they thought they were junk.
Yeah.
So what changed?
Well, we started finding out that some LNRNAs actually produce these small peptides,
Huh.
and those peptides have like their own distinct biological functions.
Wow, so they do something.
Yeah, and there's a good example of this LNRNA 6-1,
Okay.
and this one produces a peptide that actually promotes muscle growth.
So, like, if we're thinking about aquaculture,
Exactly.
could this help boost growth rates in, like, farmed fish?
That's the kind of potential we're talking about.
Okay, so not just junk DNA, but potential growth hackers for aquaculture.
I like that.
I mean, that definitely makes them worth paying attention to.
Totally. And it gets even more interesting.
Okay, how so?
Well, you can actually categorize LNA RNAs based on where they're hanging out in the genome
Okay.
relative to those protein-coding genes. And for our purposes today, I think the most relevant categories are the antisense LNRNAs,
Okay.
which kind of overlap with a protein-coding gene on like the opposite strand of DNA. And then you have the long intergenic non-coding RNAs.
That's a mouthful.
Yeah, we usually just call them linker RNAs for short.
Okay.
And these guys are found between protein-coding genes.
Interesting.
These categories are super intriguing because they often like regulate the expression of those neighboring genes.
So it's all about location, location, location.
Exactly, like prime real estate on the DNA molecule.
I like that analogy.
And the way they're created and process their like biogenesis, it's quite intricate,
I'll bet.
involves transcription processing, even sorting into specific organelles within the cell.
Wow, that's complex.
It is a very tightly regulated process.
Okay, so this is already way more complex than I initially thought.
Yeah.
But how do they actually do anything if they're not making proteins?
That is the million-dollar question, and that's what makes them so fascinating.
Okay, I'm intrigued. Lay it on me.
So they might not make proteins themselves, but they act as these puppet masters.
Puppet masters.
Yeah, pulling the strings behind the scenes to control how genes are expressed and how cells behave.
Okay, that sounds kind of dramatic. Give me the details.
Okay, so they can act in at least five different ways.
Five.
At least first, they can be like signals.
Signals.
Yeah, think about like a specific LNCRNA being produced when the temperature suddenly changes,
Whoa.
setting off like a cascade of responses to help the organism adapt.
So like a molecular fire alarm.
Precisely.
I like that.
Or they can act as decoys.
Decoys, what's that mean?
So picture this, an LNCRNA binds to a transcription factor,
Okay.
and it actually prevents it from activating a specific gene.
So it's like protecting the cell from unwanted gene expression.
Exactly.
Wow.
They can also function as scaffolds.
Scaffolds, how does that work?
So picture them bringing together multiple proteins and transcription factors,
Okay.
creating like a complex that regulates gene expression.
So they're like the organizer,
Yeah.
making sure all the right players are in the right place at the right time.
Exactly.
Okay, and what else?
They can also act as guides,
Like.
leading proteins to specific locations on the DNA to influence gene expression.
Interesting.
For example, during development, an LNCRNA might guide a protein to a specific gene
Okay.
that needs to be activated for a particular tissue to form.
So they're like a GPS system.
Yeah, that's a good way to think about it.
Cool. Okay, so we've got signals, decoys, scaffolds, and guides. What's the fifth trick up their sleeve?
Yes, number five. Well, remember how we said some LNCRNAs can actually code for those small peptides?
Yeah.
That's our fifth category, the coders.
Oh, okay.
They kind of break the mold by making functional molecules,
Interesting.
really blurring the line between coding and non-coding RNA.
So they're like a hybrid.
In a way, for instance, there's this peptide produced by an LNCRNA that can actually suppress cancer cell growth.
No way. So they have like direct effects too, as well as indirect ones.
Exactly. And that's what makes LNCRNAs so captivating.
Yeah, they'd be pretty versatile.
They're involved in practically every aspect of cellular life.
Wow.
But let's shift gears for a sec.
Okay, where are we going?
Let's focus on your area of expertise, marine invertebrates.
Yeah, finally, let's talk about how these fascinating molecules are impacting the oysters, sea cucumbers, and all those other amazing creatures we study.
All right, well, let's go through some specific examples,
Okay.
things you can like drop in your next lab meeting.
Perfect. I'm ready to impress my colleagues.
All right, let's start with reproduction. Hot topic at aquaculture, right?
Definitely.
So LNCRNAs are playing like a crucial role in gonadal development in oysters.
Oh, really?
Yeah, researchers have found these specific LNCRNAs, like a
Okay.
CG-MALDR1-like and CGSH3kilobp1, and they're expressed differently in male and female oysters,
Huh, interesting.
which suggests they're involved in like sex determination and gonad maturation.
So these LNCRNAs could be like the key to understanding
Right.
and maybe even manipulating oyster reproduction.
Exactly. And it's not just oysters either.
Oh.
In shrimp, there's this LNCRNA called LNCCV13
Okay.
that's been linked to vitellogenin synthesis.
Vitellogenin, remind me what that is again?
It's a protein that's like super important for egg yolk formation.
Oh, right.
So this LNCRNA could be a target for like boosting reproductive output in shrimp aquaculture.
Oh, wow, that's really interesting.
Yeah, if you drop that in your lab meeting,
People will be
for
impressed.
sure.
That's a great point. Knowing how these LNCRNAs work could help us optimize breeding programs
Totally.
and increase yields in aquaculture.
Absolutely. And speaking of sex, let's talk about sex regulation.
Okay.
LNCRNAs are involved in everything from sex determination to differentiation and even sex reversal.
Wow, they really do it all.
Right. For example, in fish, like large yellow croakers and Chinese tongue sole,
Okay.
researchers have found these sex-biased LNCRNAs that regulate key genes like DMARCH1 and DMARCH2.
And those are?
They're like master switches for sex development.
Oh, wow.
Imagine being able to like influence the sex ratios of your aquaculture studs.
Oh, that would be incredible.
Right.
No more sorting through thousands of juveniles to get the desired sex ratio.
Exactly. It could revolutionize the industry.
Yeah, totally. Okay, what else is there?
Let's move on to another critical area, immune response.
Okay.
Aquaculture species are often susceptible to bacterial infection.
Yeah, especially in those crowded conditions.
Exactly. It's a constant battle.
So are you saying LTRNAs could help with that?
Well, researchers are finding LCRNAs that are like differentially expressed during bacterial infections,
Huh.
suggesting they're involved in activating immune cells
Okay.
and coordinating the defense response, for example, in oysters infected with bacteria like Vibrio. Certain LCRNAs are upregulated, indicating a role in fighting off the infection.
So we're talking about like boosting the immune systems of these animals
Potentially.
to make them more resistant to disease.
Exactly. Some LNCRNAs even act as like molecular sponges.
Molecular sponges.
Yeah, soaking up microRNAs that would otherwise suppress immune genes.
So it's like they're taking the brakes off the immune system.
Exactly.
That's amazing. Imagine the possibilities for disease prevention in aquaculture.
Right, and let's not forget about growth and development.
Right, we all want bigger, faster-growing aquaculture species.
Of course, LNCRNAs are heavily involved in these processes too.
Oh, I bet. Give me some examples.
Well, for example, researchers have identified LNCRNAs linked to muscle growth and quality in rainbow trout
Okay.
and bone development in blunt snout bream.
So we could potentially target those LNCRNAs to enhance growth rates
Yeah.
and improve the overall quality of aquaculture products.
That's the idea. Understanding these mechanisms could be revolutionary for the industry.
I could see that. And what about shellfish?
Well, there's this LNCRNA called LNC133 in pearl oysters
Okay.
that seems to regulate cell proliferation in the adductor muscle.
Important muscle for oysters.
Yeah, crucial for movement and feeding.
So if we could manipulate LNC133, we could potentially have bigger, faster-growing oysters.
Exactly. The potential applications are vast.
This is incredible.
And don't forget about those environmental stressors we talked about earlier.
Right. Marine invertebrates face all sorts of challenges.
Yeah, temperature fluctuations, salinity changes, hypoxia.
It's a tough world out there for them.
It is, but LNCRNAs are helping them adapt and survive.
You mentioned hypoxia earlier. Are there like specific examples of LNCRNAs helping marine invertebrates cope with low oxygen?
Absolutely. In large yellow croaker, there's an LNCRNA called LNC06633.1
Okay.
that's closely linked to hypoxia indicible factor 1 alpha.
HIF1.
Yep, a crucial protein that helps organisms adapt to low oxygen conditions.
So this LNC06633.1 is like a cellular oxygen tank?
Haha, I like that.
Helping the croaker deal with oxygen deprivation.
A great way to put it, and it's it's not just croaker.
Oh.
In Japanese sea cucumbers, scientists have found a whole network of LNC RNAs interacting with marinase.
Wow.
To regulate HIF-1 under hyoxia.
So the takeaway here is that LNC RNAs are key players in the stress response.
For sure.
And that understanding these mechanisms could help us develop strategies to make aquaculture species more resilient to environmental challenges.
Precisely. And it's not just about hypoxia either.
Oh, that's right. What else?
LNC RNAs are involved in the response to temperature stress too.
Oh, tell me more about that.
Okay, so in Pacific abalone, for example, thousands of LNC RNAs change expression in response to heat stress.
Wow.
Some of them regulate the immune system.
Which is important.
Yeah, because warmer waters often lead to increased disease susceptibility.
So these LNC RNAs are like the abalone's first line of defense.
Yeah, exactly.
Against the impacts of climate change.
And in Nile tilapia, researchers have found LNC RNAs involved in the response to cold stress, too.
It's incredible how these molecules are involved in so many different processes.
I know, right?
And how they help these organisms adapt to such a wide range of challenges.
It really highlights the complexity and importance of LNC RNAs in marine invertebrates.
Yeah.
And we're only just scratching the surface.
I bet.
Every new study reveals more about their intricate roles and their vast potential.
It sounds like understanding LNC RNAs is essential for anyone studying marine invertebrate epigenetics.
Absolutely. It's no longer optional. It's like a fundamental part of the field.
Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground here.
We have.
We've explored the fascinating world of LNC RNAs and their roles in reproduction, immune response, growth development, and stress response.
Oh.
What else is there to discover? We've talked about like LNC RNAs and environmental stress, but what about stressors caused by humans?
Oh, yeah.
Like pollution, habitat destruction, overfishing, all that stuff. Are LNC RNAs involved in those responses too?
That's a really good question, and it's definitely an area that needs more research.
Yeah, it seems like it.
We know human activities can really mess with marine ecosystems.
For sure.
And given LNC RNAs' role in stress response, it makes sense they'd be involved in how organisms cope with these anthropogenic stressors.
Right. So where do we even begin with all this?
Well, let's start with pollution.
Okay.
Heavy metals, pesticides, plastics, you name it.
Yeah, nasty stuff.
We already know LNC RNAs are involved in detoxification pathways in other organisms.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so it's highly likely they're doing something similar in marine invertebrates.
Makes sense.
Helping them process and get rid of those harmful substances.
So could we maybe use LNC RNAs as like biomarkers?
Oh, yeah.
For pollution exposure?
Exactly. That would be super valuable for monitoring the health of these animals.
Right.
And their environments.
Imagine being able to like assess the impact of pollution on a molecular level,
right,
by looking at LNC RNA expression patterns.
It would give us so much more information about how these animals are being affected.
Yeah, that would be a huge step forward for conservation efforts.
Totally, and it's not just about protecting individual species either.
Right, it's about protecting entire ecosystems.
Exactly. And speaking of ecosystems, let's talk about habitat destruction.
Okay.
Coral reefs are like the perfect example.
Yeah, they're in trouble.
Climate change pollution, destructive fishing practices, it's a lot.
And corals are marine invertebrates, right?
They are, and they're incredibly sensitive to any environmental change.
So are LNC RNAs involved in this somehow?
Well, research has already found LNC RNAs involved in coral development, immune response, and even their symbiotic relationships with algae.
So it seems likely LNC RNAs are also involved in how corals respond to habitat degradation.
Yeah, it's a safe bet.
If we could pinpoint those specific LNRNAs, could we use that knowledge to help corals become more resilient?
It's definitely a possibility worth exploring.
Imagine being able to like enhance the expression of certain LNRNAs,
right,
that promote resilience to like warmer temperatures or pollution.
It could be huge for coral reef conservation.
It's like a glimmer of hope in a pretty dire situation.
Yeah, it is okay. But what about overfishing?
Oh yeah, that's another big one.
It's putting a ton of pressure on these populations.
So how are LNRNAs involved there?
Well, there's no direct evidence yet, but think about the cascading effects.
Okay.
Overfishing disrupts the balance of populations. It leads to changes in genetic diversity and could even alter the epigenetic landscape of these species.
Wait, are you saying overfishing could be messing with their LNC RNAs?
It's a hypothesis worth considering.
Wow.
We know environmental stress can trigger epigenetic modifications.
Right.
And those modifications can be passed down through generations.
Oh, wow.
So it's possible that overfishing could be impacting the LNC RNA profiles of these populations.
That's kind of scary.
It is. We're not just impacting these creatures in the present.
Right.
We're potentially shaping their evolutionary trajectory.
That's a sobering thought. It really underscores the need for sustainable fishing practices.
I agree. We need to make sure these populations stay healthy and resilient.
For their own sake and for the sake of the whole ecosystem.
Exactly. Okay. Well, I think my brain is officially full.
Mine too.
We went from like the basics of LNCRNAs to their complex roles in marine invertebrate biology.
Yeah, and then all the way to how they might be helping these creatures cope with human impacts.
It's a wild ride.
It is, but the message is clear. LNCRNAs are not just some random molecules.
Nope.
They're vital players in the grand scheme of life, and we need to understand them.
For both science and the future of our oceans.
Couldn't have said it better myself. And to all you marine invertebrate epigenetics researchers out there.
Keep up the good work.
Keep asking those tough questions. Keep digging deeper.
You never know. You might just uncover the next LNCRNA breakthrough.
That helps us protect these incredible creatures and the ecosystems they call home. Until next time, happy deep diving.